Hello, everyone. How are you? It's Pastor Rod Plummer here from Tokyo, Japan. We're going to talk about solid foundation of faith, 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 a word that is mentioned a thousand times in the Bible, half in the Old Testament, half in the New Testament. It's a key Bible word, faith, not just faith in faith. That's called positive thinking. I tried that before I became a believer. I tried to believe in myself, believe in just goodness and believe in just getting better. And I used to meditate and try for months and months before I became a believer in Jesus. I'm going to get better. I'm better. I'm better. But at the end of my meditation, I was no better because I was having faith in faith. No, we're going to talk about faith in Jesus, faith in the crucifixion, resurrection, the love of God, the goodness of God, faith in his word as we read his word, faith in something that is so firm and so strong. So we're going to read here from Hebrews chapter 6. This is the study we're doing. It's strong foundations. Last week we talked about the foundation of repentance, which means change thinking, change your thinking, change your thinking, change to be like God, change in hope, change in joy, change in future, change in whatever it is. This week we're talking about faith. So Hebrews 6, verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary or first teachings about Jesus Christ and go on to maturity. We're going to get the foundation stones of Jesus, and then we're going to add to it repentance from acts that lead to faith. Get last week's message on that. Number two, faith in God, faith in God. So last week we talked about change your thinking. So we're building our foundation on Jesus. We're going to add change thinking. This week we're going to add faith in God. We're adding to our building our foundation stones. We're building a building based on faith in God. Then next week, we're going to start talking about baptisms, laying on of hands, which is all about power from the Holy Spirit, the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment, which is about end times, what happens when we die, heaven and hell, all that stuff's coming up ahead. Today is all about faith. We're building a foundation of faith. Now, this word faith comes from the concept of firm and strong. In the Old Testament, when they lived in the desert area, they built their tents. They had to put the stick or the stay, the pole into a firm foundation, and then from that they put ropes out into a firm foundation. And so the concept of faith was a tent that was firmly established in the ground. And we find an Old Testament scripture about this. Isaiah 22:23 says, I will drive him like a peg into a firm place, a tent peg. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. And so the picture of faith means firm, can't move it. I've got faith. I've got this stake in the ground with God. And it says he will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will be the seat of honor for the house of his father. And so when we come to the first time faith is used in the Bible, it's with Abram or Abraham. It's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And Abram's been promised by God, Abram, I'm going to make you great, going to make your name great. Your family's going to be great. You're going to be blessed. It's going to be amazing. And you're going to be the father of many nations. And chapter 15, Abram says, I've got no son yet, God. I've got no son. And God said, look at the stars. I'm going to make your children like the stars if you can count them. And it says that Abraham believed the Lord. It's like a tent peg stake in the ground. Like God said it, I can't move it. It's faith. It's standing. It's strong. And I love this concept, don't you? That we have faith in an unmovable, eternal God. We have faith in his promises. As I read the word, I've got faith in his firm foundation. We've got faith in God. Now, this Old Testament word, aman, the Hebrew is aman. We get lots of words from this, including one word, which is amen. Amen comes from aman. So when Jesus says amen, amen, I say to you, he's saying firmly, truly, absolute rock in the ground or stake in the ground, I'm telling you the truth. He's saying, you can have faith in this. I really believe this with all my heart. And there's another Old Testament word, which means to trust which is similar, but trust is like, here, God, I'm open to whatever you want to do. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Faith, trust, belief, these are really important words for our being believers in Jesus. You see, we're believers. 500 times Old Testament, believers. We're believers. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we find that believers is used about another 500 times. And the Greek word is pistuo, which has a slightly different concept. It's talking about a deposit or a receipt today. When recently I turned 60 and my family bought me a snowboard. First of all, I ordered it. I had to order it. They had to fix it. And that I paid the money from my family. Thank you very much, family. You love me. I love that. And they gave me a receipt that just said, you purchased a snowboard. I walked out of the shop. I didn't have a snowboard. I had the receipt. Now, New Testament, this is what faith is. It's the document from God, the spiritual truth, the firm foundation that what God has said, we don't have it yet. It's like the receipt, but what's coming. And one day I walked back and I gave them the receipt. I received my actual snowboard, which is awesome. I'm not awesome, but the snowboard is awesome. And going down and loving snowboarding with Monty and Richie, my sons. And anyway, that's a different story, right? But the New Testament's concept of faith is like that receipt. It's like another example would be my passport. If you see this passport, it's got, where I was born in Sydney and a lovely photograph there. And this is from the Australian government. I am Australian, though I am a resident of Japan. Yay, love Japan, love Australia. We are blessed. But this represents, it's a document. This is not me, but it represents me. So when I go through an airport and they want to make sure I am, they look at this and the Australian government says, yes, we guarantee this is Rod Plummer. Well, let's read it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence of what we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So if I'm not here, I'm gone. But you get this passport, so that represents Rod. So faith is something we don't yet see it, but it's like we have it from God. We have the truth. That's just an example. So with Old Testament faith, it's like a tent peg in the ground, something firm. You can't move it. You can depend on it. New Testament is we have the document or trust from God that what we believe is going to happen. When God's promise says he's going to bless us and we don't yet see blessing, we have the document from God. We're believing. We're believers. Even salvation is a believing thing. It's let's read it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever has this document of faith from God, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's why I'm so absolutely believing that when I die, I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus, not because I'm good, but because he said so. Now, this John 3:16 is the key verse that most people know in the whole world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We are believers. We believe in salvation, believe in the death and the resurrection, yay, of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a resurrected Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. How do I know? Well, he's given me this document of faith. Yes, I believe. He's touched me. He's changed me. I believe. I'm a believer. His word has changed me. I read it every day. I'm a believer. I believe it. It's really, really awesome. So let me read again Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence of what we're hoping for. When Jesus says it, yes, confidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't have it yet, but I have it in my heart. I'm believing. I'm standing upon his word. It's going to happen with all my heart. I believe. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? Come on. Number two, I want to ask the question, do actions have to follow faith in God? The answer is Yes. Jesus said many times, why do you say this, but you do not do it? So we're not saved by actions. We're saved by faith, but actions follow faith. It's like when I got married to my lovely wife and I made a vow, I made a decision. I said, I promise to love you and cherish you. Ah, very lovely. And forsaking all other women, I am married to you until I die. It was a vow, but I believed it. It was something that defined my life and my marriage. And so it is that actions must follow faith. I had faith in what I was saying to my wife when I married her. And then the actions are, I'm going to live that way. So it is with faith. As I said, we're not faith in nothing. We're faith in God. And God says to Abraham many times things that it says, by faith he believed. In James chapter 2, you can read it, long passage, verse 14 to 24, it says, faith without works is dead. Faith, someone says, I have faith, but they don't do anything. They're not building a foundation. So actions do follow faith. So a believer in Jesus' death and resurrection, his life will change because now he has a changed thinking and faith which changes actions. Actions start to change. So there's got to be action. Some people say, well, I just believe and I don't have to do anything. That's not faith. That's not faith. Point three is another question. Can faith grow or diminish? The answer is yes. Faith can go up, faith can go down. Faith can go up, faith can go down. And in Romans 12, verse 3, very interesting scripture here. It says that that faith has been given to all believers. Every believer listening to me now has a measure of faith. Let me read it to you. It's in Romans 12, verse 3. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to you, every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, with right thinking, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. The measure of faith, the amount of faith. So is faith something that's real? Yes. Is it a thing? Yes. Can it grow? And yes. Can it diminish? Yes. Is it able to keep growing? Yes. Is it able to keep going down? Yes, if you make bad decisions. So faith is a thing. It's a stuff. It's a substance. And it's, for some reason, it can be measured. It can be measured. All believers must have faith to be saved. It says in that verse, it says, think of yourself in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So whatever it is, it can grow. Now, there's in this same thing about growing, diminishing, is there a thing such as little faith? Yes. It mentions that six times in the New Testament, there is a thing called little faith or small faith. And Jesus is often saying to his disciples, why do you have little faith, small faith? And the thinking is, well, why wouldn't you want to have big faith? Why don't you grow in your faith? And so in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, they're in a storm and Jesus is speaking to his disciples and they're so afraid. And we're going to read here in verse 23, Matthew 8, 23. And Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious squall, a storm came up over the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Whoa. But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And Jesus replied, you of little faith, you little faith, why are you so afraid? And he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And what Jesus is saying is, come on, storms are going to come, but I'm in your boat. Storms are going to come, but he's in your boat. Pandemics and sickness and problems and ups and downs are going to come, but he's in your boat. And when are we going to learn to trust in him, put our tent peg into his truth that he's going to get us through the storm? get us through the storm. And in New Testament, faith is going to give us the assurance he's going to get us through the storm. It's going to be okay. Faith. And he says to them, why are you still struggling with little faith? Another time Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:8, says they didn't bring bread and they were arguing. And he said to them, why do you have little faith? Like Jesus is saying, I can turn bread, I can multiply bread. Why are you still doubting what you've already seen me do? And another time in Matthew 17, verse 20, the disciples couldn't cast out demons out of this boy. And Jesus gets a little upset at them and he says, you have little faith, but this type comes out only through prayer. So he's saying to them, grow in your belief in seeing miracles, seeing goodness, seeing the power of God, seeing this thing in our heart. God will deliver the boy. God will heal. And so faith can start small, point three, but faith can grow. And this is where we want to go in a minute. I'm going to tell you how your faith can grow. In fact, most of my message from now on is about growing faith. So here we go. Faith can grow. We're going to read Matthew 17 and what Jesus says here. A famous little parable. I love it. Let's go there together if you want to. Matthew 17, verse 19. Well, that's where he's saying, Jesus said, why couldn't you cast out the demons? The disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we drive it out? Verse 20, because you have little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, tiny little seed, if you've got that much faith, it's okay, it's going to grow. If you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Listen, nothing will be impossible for you. These are the promises of the New Testament believers. We have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father. We have his word. We have faith. He's saying, come on, say to those mountains, be removed. Say to that person that needs help, God can bless you. God can touch you. God can heal you. God can love you. And that's why I love being a pastor, because I love saying to people, I don't know why we're in this trouble, but God is able. Listen, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you if we have faith. It's an incredible promise, isn't it? So faith starts small. You might say, I only have little faith. That's okay if we're committed to growing our faith. And then there's a couple of people Jesus said had great faith, and both of them are non-Jewish people, which was a challenge to the Jewish people. And for us today, that would be a challenge for us Christians. If God said the non-Christians have more faith than you, that would be such a shock. And what is going to happen here in both Matthew 8 and Luke 7, same story, is a centurion comes to Jesus. He's a Roman soldier. We don't know whether he has any faith yet. I think he does. I think he's been around the Jewish people long enough and he's gaining faith. So we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8 and verse 10. And the man comes and says, I have a servant that I love and he's dying. And would you heal my servant? Would you heal my servant? We're going to read from verse 8. Matthew 8:8. The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. That is faith right there. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished, blown away. Jesus was blown away by this Roman, this man who was not a Jewish man. He was coming into faith. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith, with such great faith, with such great faith. It's incredible. And then he says in verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed. Just as you believe that God can heal, you've got the truth, God can heal. God can heal. And it's like a stake, hammering a peg into the ground. I believe God can heal. I don't have faith in faith. I have faith in Jesus. It's like God's given him the document. And Jesus said, your son is healed. And he goes away. He's already got the faith to believe. And his servant was healed at that very hour. The second time Jesus says great faith is a woman in Matthew 15. Jesus goes to an area where there are not so many Jews down by the water in Israel. And there's what they call a Syrophoenician woman. Some of your Bibles might say a Canaanite woman, a woman who's definitely not a Jewish woman. And she comes to Jesus and she interrupts his meal or whatever he's doing. And this is in Matthew 15, 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is in current day Lebanon. Lebanon, believing for God to move in Lebanon, to heal Lebanon. We're praying for miracles and believers in the country of Lebanon. A Canaanite woman or a Syrophoenician woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Jesus replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the little puppies. The Bible might say dogs, but it's not the word dog. It's little puppy. It's a cute little puppy. It's not right to take Israel's stuff and give it to the little puppies. He's inviting her to come in further into the conversation. Don't you love that? Jesus is so three-dimensional, so real. This is a real story with real people. And this woman says, heal my daughter. And he says, oh, I think he's teasing her. I think he's wanting to draw her into more faith. The mustard size faith is growing. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Whoa, she's playing back with Jesus. Jesus, you're calling me a little puppy. The little puppies get some bread off the table. I'm asking for healing for my daughter. Let some fall off your table. And Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I love this. You have great faith. The word in the Greek is mega faith. You got mega, mega faith. Your faith just grew. And here we see that faith can actually grow and it can actually go down. And faith is a real thing. That's why we've got to grow faith, grow our faith to believe in the word and his promise. When you're journaling, say, God, I believe it. God, I believe it. In church, you're hearing a message. God, I believe it. God, I believe it. You know, the world wants to take away our faith and says, oh, that can't be real. And no, we're going to build our faith. I want to grow my faith. I want to get a bit more faith and grow more faith in my life. And as I'm believing for a great marriage, believing to be a great dad and a great job, and then believing for some great friends and some great relationships, if you're single, marriage, and believing for a great, and finally you're building on the foundation of a changed mind in Jesus and faith. I'm believing in the pandemic, God's going to bless you. I'm believing you're going to have more friends. I'm believing in God's word. Come on. So my last little part today, I want to talk about four ways. I almost did five there. Four ways to grow our faith. Now, there's old stories about you got to feed your faith. You got to feed yourself good things. You can't feed bad things and expect your faith to grow. It just doesn't work, you know. I was remembering an old movie from about 2003. It was called Super Size Me. A man decided to eat only McDonald's for a month and he ate a lot of food. He ate too much and he gained 11 kilograms. He had his heart rate started to change. He had mood swings, emotional ups and downs. And after his doctor, after 20 days, said, don't do this anymore. Don't eat just McDonald's every day. but he was making a documentary which won an Academy Award. And after 30 days, he was overweight and he had mood swings. Why? Because he was feeding the wrong things. After that, he decided to go on a special diet, cutting out all these fatty things out of his life and sugars, and changed his diet. It took him 14 months to lose the weight he gained in 1 month. 1 month of bad eating infected and affected his life so badly that he had to slowly get better. And I'm believing in Jesus Christ, it's not going to take you 14 months or even 14 days. I believe God can restore faith to us quickly, but we must feed on the right things. Don't feed on rubbish food. Feed on good food. If it's good for my body, it's good for my life. And the four things are all about internal changes that we need to make and understand how to grow our faith. You ready? Number one, we grow our faith by hearing the word of God. I read my Bible on my iPhone or my iPad. I've got a paper Bible. I don't usually use a paper Bible anymore, but I love it. But I read this for most of my Christian life and love it. Know where parts are and just keep journaling and reading. And I started reading in the Gospel of Mark 41 years ago. And this month I'm reading in the Gospel of Mark again. Can't get past it. It's just so much in there about building my faith and hearing the word and hearing someone preach. And, you know, we've got a wonderful guy in our church. And he says that whenever he comes, he's always says, God, whenever he comes to church, he says, God, you're going to speak to me today. I'm going to pick up one thing. I'm going to carry that one thing. Online, he's doing the same thing at home. Just, God, speak to me. That's an expectation. We also believe in journaling. That's reading a little bit of God's word. I did it today. Again, I'm reading Mark chapter 12 at the moment and loving it and inviting you to journal with me if you want to, or your own journal. But journaling is hearing the word of God. You're ready for this incredible scripture. You've got to believe it. It's in Romans chapter 10. Let's go there. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Here we go. What an incredible scripture this is. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. It's Jesus' words or the Bible's words. How does faith grow? Let me read it. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, faith just doesn't grow by itself. It needs a trigger, a catalyst, a feeding, something fed. And what is it? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And you need to know that. And I, you know, a lot of times as pastors, I talk to people, they said, Pastor Rod, I used to have a great life, but I've lost some friends, and this happened. I've lost my joy. And one of my first questions is, are you reading the word of God? And they say, oh, I used to. My marriage is not doing so well anymore. And I ask, are you reading the Bible? Oh, I used to. We used to go to church, or we used to, not so much anymore. And they're taking away their foundation of faith. Faith is getting less. And I say to them, just read today. And they say, but I haven't read for a long time. I say, just read today. Today, and we read together and pray. And sometimes I say, I feel better. And sometimes they say, I'm not yet. But I come on, keep praying. And then they say, wow, I feel I'm getting vision back. I feel I'm getting strength back. I feel I'm getting joy back, and a feeling I'm getting, and I just believe the word of God is so supernatural. I read the Bible every day, and in my memory, I remember sometimes I didn't read it. It's not legalism. It's not God punishing me, but I just know I have less strength on those days. It's not God saying, oh, you didn't read my word, I take away my power. No. It's cause and effect. It's feeding my faith. And I know people that have stopped reading the Bible and they, oh, you know, things aren't so good anymore. I'm losing my vision. And are you reading the word? Oh, well, you know, I used to, and not so sure anymore. And I would just say, pick up the Bible and know that faith comes from hearing, and the message is heard through the word of through the word of Christ. I love this. This is really powerful. Really powerful. Come on. Matthew 4:4. Jesus is tested by the devil, and the devil, quote, the devil says, if you're the Son of God, do these things. And Jesus answers with the word of God. And so even in difficult moments where you're tempted or it's tough, we're going down, the Bible is the answer. Just open it. Just read. It's supernatural. Like, God has left us something supernatural. It's called the Bible. He's left us something physical that's supernatural. It's called the Bible. The Bible. The Bible. Now, it's got to be read in some context. Some of the Old Testament is in its context. But the principles are eternal. And I really encourage you to read the Bible. We're going to read one more on this. Luke 24. This is after Jesus' resurrection. And it's the fire of the Bible, the fire of the Word. Luke 24, resurrection story. Jesus is walking along with two guys. He's explaining to them everything that's happened in Jerusalem, the crucifixion, the resurrection. Jesus is walking with them, but they don't realize it's Jesus. Quite funny. And it says that when he was, this is verse 30, Luke 24, 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Whoa. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Wasn't our hearts burning when we heard the word of God? This is it. This is how your faith is going to grow. Even if you, oh, I don't want to, or just a bit, just read a bit and then pray, God, do this in my life today. Your little faith will start increasing and one day could be great faith. The second thing is the preaching of the word of God. I've already mentioned it, but it's someone else preaching. First one is you reading and you hearing. The second one is the preaching of the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. It says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. There's a foolishness in preaching. People say, what are you preaching for? That's pretty foolish. In this modern world, we don't need this or we don't need that. But the Bible says through the foolishness, or foolishness here doesn't mean stupid. It just means the world thinks it's not wise, but it is wise through preaching. So keep coming to church. Keep staying online or physical church if you can. Don't give up. The Bible says in Hebrews, we are not of those who back away from fellowship. We keep in fellowship. Parents, keep your kids in kids' church, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God. It is something powerful, and people can be healed and saved and free through the word of God. Many times I've just read something and freedom comes or healing comes into my life. I believe in the preaching of the word of God. And let me say to you in this moment where we're online, a lot of people are watching different churches, which I guess that's fine, but I believe you need to be part of a fellowship. And I want to read to you this scripture from Acts chapter 2 in the preaching in your local church, that you've got to decide to be part of a local church. Psalm 92:13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Planted, hearing the voice. It says here in Acts 2, first day of the early church, Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There was a local church experience where there was the unveiling of the word of God in that fellowship, in that local church. Every local church has a flavor. It should preach the word, but the flavor is different, language, culture. It's going to come out a little bit differently, but you've got to be committed to your local church where God places you. And if you're online watching this, welcome. and you don't have a church, welcome to be part of Lifehouse. We believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, the word of God. At any moment, God could change you, touch you, fill you with joy, heal you, restore you. We believe in the instantaneous power touch of the Holy Spirit. It may not happen today, but it could. If it doesn't happen today, it could happen tomorrow. I believe in the moments and moments of hearing the word and being changed and touched by the Holy Spirit, refreshing new things all the time. Every day, God could do something new in your life. So if you have no local church, you want to join us, please be free to sign up, subscribe, join, whatever it's Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or whatever. Come and be part of a local church. It says here they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, prayer, and communion. Come on, it's called the local church. Number three, ways we grow our faith. Hearing the word of God, journaling, hearing through the preaching of the word in the local church. Number three, seeing or hearing miracles about Jesus. Seeing or hearing about miracles. Right now we're hearing so many miracles. John 20, 31. The Gospel of John says, I wrote this that you might believe. That's his motive in writing the Gospel of John. And in chapter 20, near the end, he just says it so clearly after mentioning seven miracles that Jesus did. John 20, verse 31. Let's go there. It says, these are written. What are written? The Gospel of John and the seven miracles. These are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you have life in his name. Believing, life. Why did John write? Because he wants us to believe in Jesus and receive salvation. And the last one, I'm going to finish with this, is finally, faith grows in the hard times. James chapter 1, verse 2. At the end of the Bible, little book called James. And James 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Testing of your faith makes you stronger, bigger growth. People, we're in time of testing. Push into God. Push into his word. Come on, be people of faith. Be people of faith. And this perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. I don't like trials, but trials is a time to press in, get his word, hear his word, be part of fellowship and grow. We come out of this pandemic or trial bigger, better, bigger faith. Come on, I'm believing for you. I'm going to pray for you right now as we finish. Right now, I believe your faith in Christ, your faith in Jesus, in his word is being a hammer and stake into the ground. Old Testament faith, it's a firm, something firm we can trust and hold on to. New Testament, the document. I believe that this represents that. It represents receiving what God has. Let me pray. Lord, we are people of faith. We believe in Jesus. We're believing in Jesus. We're believers. 1,000 times, Lord, you say believing or belief, believing. We are believers. And so we believe in Jesus. We believe it's going to grow our lives. And so we're going to build our lives through you. Help everyone to grow today, make good decisions, feed on the word, feed in the local church, feed in the hard times. We're going to grow right now in Jesus' name. And I just ask you right now, come back to God, come back to faith, come back to strength. Come on, let him build your life, friendships, local church, community, ministry, giving out. Even in the hard times, we're building a great building in Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week when we start talking about baptism. Yeah, bye-bye.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.